culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Good morning, Vietnam.
How y'all doing today? It's May 16th, 2016. Coach Dave, sitting behind the, what am I sitting behind here? Is it a camera? What is it I'm sitting behind? Whatever am I here? Bless you all. Thanks for being here. Man, missed all of you on Friday. I know that, you did have a show. I didn't get a chance to see it. I salute Roger, who ran it, I think, and JR, whoever is involved with it there. Appreciate all you guys being there and holding up the fort. I was in Dallas, Texas. We flew down there for a spiritual boot camp, Pastor Rusty Thomas and I. Turnout wasn't real great, but I never, ever worry about that. I mean, worry, that's not the right word. I never let that impact me. You always worry about it. You walk into a place and you would love to see 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 people in the room that are concerned. But the truth is we live in a day and an age where people just want to flap their jaws. They don't really want to do anything. And, not going to prevent me from trying to put a team together. I got a few games scheduled down the road, and I'm looking for a few guys that we can put in the game. But, it shows us the great failure of the church, great failure of the pulpits, a great failure, really, of many different aspects of our society. I call it the two kingdoms theology. There's a heavenly kingdom, and then there's the worldly kingdom, and never the two shall meet. I don't know where that came from, but that, unfortunately, that's where most churches are living right now. And I was going to start out with a survey today, but you guys wouldn't be good ones to do the survey with because a lot of you don't go to church. So I was just kind of curious how many of your pastors on Sunday spoke at all about the restroom situation in the public schools. Anybody here a pastor? Roger? No, Roger? Steve, your pastor say anything about the restroom situation? No? That's a no or an up?
It was mentioned very briefly.
Okay.
Angelically.
Okay. Just cover. Matt, any of that at all? No, Matt? No. Larry? No. JR? I don't even need to ask you. Rich? Go ahead. Whoever that was.
I was encouraged to tuck my children into bed at any age.
That was the message, huh?
That was part of the message. In that what parents could do with their children, I kept on saying, how about parents standing up against evil publicly to help the kids so the place doesn't go down the toilet before they get there?
Yeah, that'd be a good thing, wouldn't it? I was watching how Obama, President Obama, doubled down. I don't want to say, I don't want to be too prophetic here, but I believe I said that was coming, didn't I? I believe in one of my videos I said it'll be the schools next, and Obama comes in and doubles down. I was really encouraged by something today, guys. I don't know if you thought about this or not. What is today? May, June, July, August, September, October, November. 6 months. 6 months. We can get that guy out of office, or he's going to double down. I'm not so sure he's going to leave. I don't think he wants to leave, and there are many out there that say that they're doing all this chaos because they want to create a martial law situation. They want to get the blacks so mad at the whites, and they want to get the whites so mad at the government that there's a rebellion, which will give them the ability then to crack down on some martial law and Obama issue an edict where he doesn't have to leave office. It would have seemed a couple years ago when I started to hear that kind of talk, as usual, you think it's crazy talk. That couldn't happen. Well, boys, he just told you what you could do with your bathrooms in your local public schools. And again, people don't get it. They don't get it. So I think he doubled down to see really what our reaction was going to be. Actually, he did see what our reaction was going to be, didn't he? He provided some cover for Target. He provided a lot of cover for him. The heat was really coming on Target, still coming on Target, by the way. But Obama took the heat off of him. He moved the Target from Target to the schools. This guy's amazing. And then something my buddy Norm had told me, and JR, I don't know if you were aware of this. This policy is already in most of the schools in Central Ohio. Did you guys know that? Did you know that, JR? In Westerville, JR, what's up? You supposed to have transgender bathrooms in Westerville City Schools? I don't know either. That one, by the way, that's one of the, in case you wondered, I've not yet begun to fight. And we're going to organize some efforts against the public schools. What a great one to take on, man. What a great one to take on. By the way, JR, that's why the pastors didn't mention it. As we know, the pastors think the public schools are their pond that they fish in. Unfortunately, they never fish, and they never take any bait. So they love and they protect the public schools because so many of the people within their congregations work in the public schools, that they're not going to say anything about it. And I got a Facebook message, or I think it was, last week from a lady who's in the public schools. And of course, she chastised me, took me to task for criticizing the public schools, and there were a lot of good Christian teachers in the public schools. I held my tongue, because if you're a good Christian teacher in the public schools, you ain't going to be teaching there very long. Say it again. If you're a good Christian witness in the public schools, you're not going to be teaching there very long. They're going to get rid of you. They're going to get rid of you. And it's amazing that Roger and I first met back in 1997 when I got sued by the American Civil Liberties Union for, what was I doing way back in 1997, almost 20 years ago? Praying with our football teams. This is where this whole thing started. And I was trying to warn people back in 1997 that the British are coming. And when I left teaching and coaching and started Past Assault Ministries, I was trying to warn people the British are coming. I was rejected by the church. I'm not feeling sorry for myself. I'm not asking for your sympathy. I'm just telling you. When I would try to bring that message to the church would just close the door. They didn't want to hear it. And here we are 20 years later, and the President of the United States now is saying perversion in public schools. Right there in your own public school, right where you live, the President of the United States wants to put boys and girls in the same bathroom together, right where you live. And what'd your pastor say? Oh, don't worry about it. Jesus is in control, and we're going to be out of here soon. Jesus is in control. He's going to rapture us all out of here. He'll leave this old world to whoever he leaves it to. What a bunch of malarkey that one is. So I'm trying to figure out what the next target becomes in this battle for normalcy, and I don't know. I'm going to try to screen share something with you here. See if I can. Let's see, Jared. If Jared, tell me how to do this again. I go here on this page, and it says screen share, and I do that, and no, that's not either one of them that I want. So I have to click on the one that I want, Jared. Is that what I have to do? I click on this. Why can't I just screen share that? Come on, coach. I don't have it. All right, so I'm going to read it to you. Sorry, guys. I'm going to read it to you. I should have sent it to Jared because he would have screen shared it for me. This is from Faith Family America. It says, famous LGBT activist reveals the scary real goal of the bathroom battle. This was May 9, 2016. This is just a condensed Cliff Notes version of an article a guy wrote. Again, this LGBT activist reveals the real goal of the bathroom battle. Hang on here with me, guys. Here's what it says. What you may have been suspecting has been confirmed. LGBT activist's end goal is not ruling over the bathroom. It is obliterating the family. Say it again. The goal of this whole thing is not bathrooms and transgenders. It is obliterating the family. Ricky Wilchins, a famous transsexual who recently wrote a piece in the gay publication The Advocate, revealed that many conservatives and even some LGBT activists, they're missing the forest for the trees. This freak is telling us we're missing it. Are you keeping up with me, guys? Even though I'm reading to you, are you keeping up with me okay there? Hearing me all right? Titled, "We'll Win the Bathroom Battle When the Binary Burns," was the title of his article. Wilchins says the real goal, you ready? The real goal is to kill the notion of male and female altogether. The term binary refers to gender distinction, and getting rid of heterobinary structure is the goal. Now, I don't even know what a heterobinary structure is. Man, women, I assume. Wilchins writes that the fact that we are arguing over male and female facilities is proof that we still have a long way to go and that there should be no gender distinctions in general. I'm going to stop right there a second. I'm coming back to this. I'm going to come visit you guys here a second. Is this a biblical issue? You know, people say, "Coach, just preach the gospel. Just stay, don't get caught up in all that stuff." Is the destruction of male and female identification, male-female classification, is that a gospel issue? Somebody help me here. Because if it's not a gospel issue, I don't even want to worry about it then. Anybody? It's a gospel issue?
I believe it is. I believe it's quite clear that God made them male and female. This is an attempt to eradicate the plan of God for mankind.
What's our society built upon? The family structure, right? Family structure. The foundations of Psalm 11:3. The foundations have been destroyed. What can the righteous do? This is as much a gospel issue. I'll make you nervous now. It's as much a gospel issue as marriage is an issue. Marriage is a gospel issue. Raising children is a gospel issue. It's all gospel issues, folks. This idea that we have the kingdom of God, which, by the way, I believe, and I'm actively involved in the kingdom of God, and then we have the kingdom of the world. The act that these two things are separate, that's the message being taught by the church. Look what's going on. Look how we can go to church yesterday, retreat inside our stained glass fortresses, and ignore what's going on outside. And you know what's going on outside? The people sitting in the church are wondering, what are we supposed to do about this? And they go to church and it's never mentioned. It's never mentioned because why? They just want to preach the gospel. Let me go back to this Richie Wilchins, whatever his name is. Oh, he said, in fact, Wilson points to an emerging group of people who don't want to affiliate with any gender. That's sick, guys. Non-binary people don't identify as male or female. They often want to be referred to as they or her or zer. I don't even know what that means. So the fact that there are even intimate facilities that reflect the binary truth about genders should change. See, some people don't identify. They're just people. This is a movement going across America by the homos. So if you're confused, you're not alone. But beneath all the titles and non-titles, the insidious plan is the destruction of the family, reveals Stella Morbido, senior contributor to The Federalist. I'm about done with this. Sorry that you can't read along with me if I'll figure out how to share this in the future. Listen now. It's what this guy writes. What we're really talking about is the abolition of sex. It is sex that the trans project is serving to abolish legally under the guise of something called the gender binary. Its end game is a society in which everyone is legally de-sexed, no longer legally male or female. And once you basically redefine humanity as sexless, you end up with a dehumanized society in which there can be no legal mother or father or son or daughter or husband or wife without permission of the state. Government documents are already erasing the terms. In such a society, the most intimate human relationship takes a hit, a male-female husband-wife, and the family ends up abolished. The Morbido hits home this point. Sex distinctions are the germ of all human relationships. Say that again. Sex distinctions are the germ of all human relationships. Abolishing them legally basically abolishes family autonomy. And this is an act of violence against children, because it would serve at some point to separate them from their origins. Every child's first transgender question is, no, every child's first transcendental question is, where did I come from? If the law will not allow the child to see his own origins and wholeness in the faces of a mother and a father, it will destabilize the child's sense of self. It creates personal dysfunction in the society. Basically ends up spreading more dysfunction and even dystopia in society. This is scary. If Morabito and other culture watchdogs are right, the bathroom battle is far more serious than many think. They're not after the bathrooms. They're after the family. They're after the family. Is that a gospel issue? Of course it's a gospel issue. So here's a little video for you. I got Jared pulled this thing up. This is from Bradley Dean. And what you're going to hear is, this is actually read in the Congressional Record. I don't know if I've played this on this show or not before. I had an inkling in my head that I had, but maybe I didn't. We better realize, guys and girls, that we're fighting a very, very militant opponent. We're fighting an opponent. We're fighting a spirit of homosexuality that is hell-bent on destroying everything normal. I'm telling you, I'm telling you, right-wing watch, I'm telling you, they are trying to destroy everything normal. So the President of the United States comes out and says, we're going to have bathrooms without gender, and the church doesn't do a thing. They don't do a thing. They don't do a thing. Pastor says, well, let's go buy them some book bags. Let's buy those homos some book bags. Send our kids off to those bastions of hell, government schools, where you're forced to pay to teach stuff you don't even believe to your children, not other people's children. Go to church on Sunday and act like it's not going on. And then have the audacity to complain because somebody's voting for Trump. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen, or just do this so I know you're saying amen. They gripe and they moan about how righteous your vote is. Oh my goodness, I can't vote for Trump. Oh no, 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 I can't. I cannot. No way I can sacrifice my integrity and vote for Donald Trump. But yet they send their kids to schools. Wait a minute. They allow the government to blackmail them into paying the government to turn your kid into a stinking queer. Don't vote for Trump. Start a new political party. I have a solution. How many empty churches are there in America right now? Monday morning, what time is it? 7:19. How many churches across America today are empty? Every one of them, aren't they? A few of them have preschools. A few of them do, which is a good thing, Christian preschools. What if the pastors caught the vision to open up those churches and let them become educational centers through the week? That they could co-op. They could do homeschool co-opting. That you could get a certified teacher, if that's what you're worried about. Get a certified teacher and bring the families in your church together, and all of them do school in there together. With computers and everything we have, you mean that couldn't be done? We're still blind to the fact that we can't educate our own children. We have to send it to some university-trained 23-year-old girl who's been sleeping with every boy in the fraternity, who then becomes our kids' teacher the next year. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Diversity and tolerance, and that's what we're dealing with. Well, this doesn't happen by accident. Jared, you got that Bradley Dean video ready to go? Hey, guys, swallow hard on this one. Swallow hard on this one. Because this is what we're fighting against. Oh, it's just bathrooms. And I'm okay, well, I won't go to Target. Oh, I'm going to really sacrifice. I'm going to sign a boycott pledge. That's what I'm going to do. And then I'll have Don Wildman carry it to Target for me. And then I just won't go there anymore. And meanwhile, the president says, open up your bathrooms in your schools, open up the locker rooms in your schools, and let boys and girls. See, this goes back to education. Hang on, I just got to do this. Sex education in schools started back when I graduated in 1971. I never had a sex education class in my life. Never had one. I started teaching in 1975, 4 years later. 4 years later, we were doing, as a health teacher, sex education in our health classes. Never had one in my life. And I was smart enough to see right then that all I was doing was tearing down the modesty of the children. When you took a child and you began to talk about sex education in mixed company, it automatically tore down modesty. It just did. And somebody out there told us, we got to do that. We have to have sex education. We got to train these little, rabbits how to screw. We just got to do it. And listen, what's happened to pregnancy since then? What's happened? There's no shame at all now to having a child out of wedlock, or no shame to it at all. None. Murdering babies. Hey, where'd they learn how to do it? Where did they learn all this stuff? I graduated in 1971. I knew one guy that had to get married. I could tell you his name, but I won't embarrass him. 1971, one guy in our school. There was no abortion. And one guy in our school got his girlfriend pregnant. And I got to tell you something. I couldn't even believe that he was actually doing it. Nobody was doing it! Maybe they were. But not like it is today. Where did they learn all that? Government schools. Who approved of it? The churches. So today they're going to make gender neutral bathrooms in the schools. Who's going to approve of it? Churches. Churches. We've been co-opted. I'm on a roll. I'm going to behave here. Go and pray that Bradley Dean. Listen to this, boys. Listen to this. This is the real goal. See, we are fighting a beast. Understand this. This is a spirit. There you go, right wing watch. This is a demonic, evil spirit. This principality of homosexuality. It has engulfed the White House. I don't know if he's a homo or not. He's a perverted guy, I can promise you that. There's perversion all around him. And all you have to do is go back and study, and you'll find out that everywhere where you see men begin to exert power over other men, where men begin to exert power over other men, what naturally follows is sodomy. They sodomize little boys. You think I'm making it up? That's all right. That's all right. I'm trying to give you a warning. How deeply we are already into this. This was 1987, I think, this video that we're going to play here. Turn it up, boys. Sit back, because our enemy always tells us what he's going to do. It's like, you remember Billy Jack? I don't know. I go back a long way. That was one of the best movies I ever saw back in the 70s. Anybody remember Billy Jack? Huh? No? Yeah? Do you remember Billy Jack's? This old cop comes up to Billy Jack, and he's going to arrest Billy Jack. Billy says, I'm paraphrasing. He says, let me tell you what I'm going to do. He says to the sheriff. He says, I'm going to take this right foot, and I'm going to kick you upside the right side of your face. And you know what? There ain't a damn thing you can do about it. And that sheriff says, oh, yeah? And Billy says, yeah. Whack! Kicks him. That's what they're doing to us. I'm going to sodomize your children. Oh, yeah? Yeah, we are. Yes, we are. And you know what? They have. Go ahead and play it, Jared. He's still there. He's getting ready to go.
Can't hear it, Jared.
We're not hearing it, Jared. So if it's playing, is it playing? There's a picture of it. We can't hear it, Jared. Guys, this is so good. Well, Jared's getting that ready to go. Anybody got anything?
Read something to you, Coach. This was by our friend Dr. Kevin Baird, Pastor Kevin Baird, Indiana.
I know of. Yes, sir.
Yeah, he put this out Friday or Saturday before this weekend services to all pastors. It doesn't matter the size and scope of your church or influence. Tomorrow, you need to say something. You need to say something to your people and those you influence about the president's mandate for public bathrooms, public school bathrooms. Your people's children are at risk.
Amen.
You have an obligation to tell them clearly, unambiguously, a certain sound, clarity, that they need to let their civic leaders know this is unacceptable. Awaken. It's not politics. It's about moral insanity.
Amen, brother.
You are the watchman on the wall. You are one of the elders at the gate. You are the spiritual leader of not only your church, but your community.
Come on, come on.
Culture is crossing the line. You need to courageously meet culture at the line and say, no more.
Yep.
If this isn't the moment, then at what point does the insanity warrant your comments and leadership?
Come on, brother.
It's time to run to the battle. Run to the battle.
Amen.
I'm sorry. This is our era. I didn't ask for it either, but apparently the Lord saw something in us he thought he could use at moments like this. And I can't get back to my other screen to read the bottom line. I'll be praying for you. Please pray for me. Courage is easier preached than lived.
Man, oh man, I'm going to frame that one.
Yep.
Courage is easier preached than lived.
Yep. Isaiah 56:10, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber.
I believe we read that before.
Jared,
do you have us ready to go, bud? I know he's working hard at it. He had it up, gone. Look at this now. Can you guys see that on your screen? The Gay Revolutionary from the Gay Community News, February 15th to 24th, 1987. It's reprinted from the Congressional Record. Okay? This was read into the Congressional Record. And again, this is another one of my friend Bradley Dean's videos. It's a really good video if we can get it work here.
Hey, Dave.
Yes.
Is Bradley Dean part of the Sons of Liberty ministry?
Yes, sir, he is.
Okay.
He is it.
He is it. That is him. Okay. Yes. He's a big dude. He's about 6'8". He and I did a ministry event together. You talk about Mutt and Jeff. Oh my gosh, he's huge. Real long hair. How about if I read a scripture? Can we do that while Jared's getting that ready? Give you a minute or two there, Jared. I'm sorry. I'm in Psalm 106. We got time. No. Psalm 106 is kind of long, but it's worth the read. And I'm excited today to see that Roger found him a King James Bible. Isn't that true, Roger?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Lord, where do I want to start? Let's start here in verse 1. You guys all there, Psalm 106? Are you ready to go with that, Jared, if you are? I mean, I know you're working hard trying to get that thing working.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can now. Uh-huh.
Oh, you can hear me? All right.
Yes.
Gay Community News,
February
the 21st, 1987.
Here, let me get it in the right screen.
I'm sorry.
I don't know. It was working over there.
Good. I know it was. Because I want to do the scripture. I don't want to read the scripture and then try to get back to this. I want to put this to bed and then get into the scripture, okay? if we can get it working here.
This is the Gay Manifesto by Michael Swift, first published in Gay Community News, February 15th through the 21st in 1987. It is also reprinted in the Congressional Record. This is what it states. We shall sodomize your sons, emblems of your feeble masculinity, of your shallow dreams and vulgar lies. We shall seduce them in your schools, in your dormitories, in your gymnasiums, in your locker rooms, in your sports arenas, in your seminaries, in your youth groups, in your movie theater bathrooms, in your army bunkhouses, in your truck stops, in all your male clubs, in your House of Congress, whenever men are with men together. Your sons shall become our minions and do our biddings. They will be recast into our image. All laws banning homosexual activity will be revoked. Instead, legislation shall be passed which engenders love between men. All homosexuals stand together as brothers. We shall triumph only when we present a common face to the vicious heterosexual enemy. If you dare to cry faggot, it states, very queer at us, we will see you in your cowardly hearts and defile your dead, puny bodies. We will unmask the powerful homosexuals who masquerade as heterosexuals. You will be shocked and frightened when you find that your presidents and their sons, your industrialists, your senators, your mayors, your generals, your athletes, your film stars, your television personalities, your civic leaders, your priests, are not the safe, familiar, heterosexual figures you assume them to be. We are everywhere. We have infiltrated your ranks. Be careful when you speak of homosexuals because we are always among you. We may be sitting across the desk from you. We may be sleeping in the same bed with you. All churches who condemn us will be closed. Our only gods are handsome young men. For us, too much is not enough. All males who insist on remaining stupidly heterosexual will be tried in homosexual courts of justice and will become invisible men. We shall rewrite history, history filled and debased with your heterosexual lies and distortions. We shall be victorious because we are filled with the ferocious bitterness of the oppressed who have been forced to play seemingly bit parts in your dumb heterosexual shows throughout the age. We too are capable of firing guns and manning the barricades of the ultimate revolution. Tremble, hetero swine, when we appear before you without our masks. Have you heard or read this article before? Why not?
Just pray for him, boys. Just pray for him. That's all we need to do. Jesus loves him. Just pray for him. They have declared war on everything's good. Now, hey, think about that. 1987. If we were to go down there check by check by check by check, how many of those things have they not accomplished? Just about every one of them, haven't they? They have got the church to accept this as normal. They have got the church to marry them or to weakly condemn it, very weakly. What do you think? Nobody thinking today? Well, I don't blame you if you're not. It's breathtaking to say the least, my humble opinion. That's what we're fighting about. It's not about restrooms. I'm in Psalm 106. Are you there? This is long, but I think it's worth reading. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he's good, for his mercy endures forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all of his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest with thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. that I may see the good of the of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of the nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. Isn't it amazing David's talking about the glory of the Lord in the nation? David was more about more than just personal relationship with the Lord. We have sinned. Who's we? Our nation. We have sinned with our fathers. We've committed iniquity. We've done wickedly. Verse 7. Our fathers understood not the wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even the Red Sea. Nevertheless, this encourages me, fellas. This verse encourages me. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake. That's the only hope we have, by the way, that the name of the Lord is really, really, really protective of his name. Because if his name is no good, if his word is no good, his name's no good. So his integrity is on the line. And he has an everlasting covenant with those of us who are his children. He rebuked the Red Sea, and it dried up. So he led them through the depths, through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. So we're not the first people to have been here. The waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. They believed. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. When they saw their enemies get destroyed, they said, yeah, wow, there is a God. But they soon forgot his works, and they waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in their wilderness and tempted God in the desert. That's where we are. He gave them their requests, but sent leanness into their souls. Boy, we have lean souls. Our churches are so shallow. There's a leanness in our soul in our churches. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron, the saint of the Lord. And the earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abram. And a fire was kindled in their company, and flame burned up the wicked. Flames burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. Stay with me. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox, ate grass, started to worship the creature more than the creator. They forgot God. They forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. How did he save him? Parted the Red Sea, brought him out. Wondrous works in the land of Ham and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen, stood between him and the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy him. If it had been for Moses, they wouldn't be around. Yea, they despised the pleasant land, and they didn't believe his word. But they murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore, he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness. Could this be happening in America? He's lifting up his hand to overthrow their seed. Then we just hear those homos talking about that. Also among the nations that scattered them in the lands. They joined themselves also into Baal-peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague break up upon them. But then stood up Phinehas. Oh, the story of Phinehas. Maybe we'll get time to get to that. And he executed judgment. So the plague was stayed. Does anybody know what Phinehas did? Probably don't. I get done here. If we have time, I'm going to take you to what Phinehas did. Verse 31. And that was counted unto all him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore. Phinehas stood up and did something that counted as salvation for everybody. 32. They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. They got Moses so mad he smacked a rock. Remember, the Lord turned to speak to the rock. Moses got ticked off and hit the rock. He paid a price for it. Because they got Moses so ticked that he disobeyed God. Tried to do it his own way. Lord said, speak to the rock, and Moses struck it. I ought to take you there too. because they provoked his spirit so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. Do you guys see that? 35 public schools, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. Are Christians evangelizing the schools, or are the schools evangelizing Christian children? Just ask yourself that question. And they served their idols. The kids served the idols of the heathen. Tolerance and diversity and same-sex marriage and who are you to judge? Yea, they sacrificed their sons and daughters unto devils. They shed innocent blood. Somebody say amen. Even the blood of their sons and of their daughters. Abortion. Whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. America's polluted with blood, boys. 39. Thus were they defiled with their own works. And they went a-whoring with their own inventions. You know, it tells us in Romans 1 they were inventors of evil. Inventors of evil. Think about that. Make up new ways to do evil. Verse 40. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his inheritance. The Lord abhorred his people. Isn't that something? And he gave them into the hand of the heathen. And they hated them that ruled over them. Somebody say amen. Anybody but me hating those who are ruling over us? It's a judgment of the Lord. Many times did he deliver, 42. Their enemies also oppressed them. It's like it's written today, isn't it? And they were brought into subjection under their hand. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel and brought low for their sin. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, and remembered for them his covenant, and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. He then made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captives. Save us, O Lord God, our God, and gather us from among the heathen to give thanks unto the holy name and to triumph in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say amen. Praise you, the Lord. Did that speak to anybody? Anybody notice anything we just read that maybe popped out at you? Larry?
Well, something that popped out at me, not so much for what it actually says, but for what the church has taken it to mean. And that's back up here somewhere you were talking about, for his name's sake.
Yeah, it's very early. That's like verse 6 maybe. 8, verse 8.
Verse 8, for his name's sake. And you know, I think I've mentioned in this round in this huddle before, but the name of Jesus carries no magic. J-E-S-U-S are 5 letters of the American English alphabet that we put together for a label of calling the Son of God a label. This Hebrew word name for name and the Greek word for name in the New Testament, the Greek word is onomo, which is the essence of the being. Okay, it's not a label. The name is the authority. That's mentioned in the definition, is the authority of who they are.
Amen.
So,
amen.
You know, we've got people that think, oh, all you got to do is rebuke in the name of Jesus. Just say Jesus loud enough, long enough, and sanctified enough, and things are going to happen. I tell you what, unless you're walking in the authority that God gave his son and that he gave on to his true church, unless you're walking in that authority, you can use those letters J-E-S-U-S all you want to, and you're going to get steamrolled, my bud.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. It's not the name, it's the authority behind the name. Amen. Well, I noticed there it says, verse 30, then stood up Phinehas. Be interesting to know what Phinehas did, wouldn't it? I think that'd be kind of it, because Phinehas stayed in the hands of the Lord. Well, let's go to Numbers 25 if we want to find out what Phinehas did. Turn left.
Hey, left, Dave.
Yeah, Matt.
Can I ask? I want to go back and ask Larry, and I know what the answer is, but I just like if Larry could take just a minute to explain what he thinks walking in the authority of God is. Just a minute. What does it mean to walk in the authority of God?
God gave all authority to Jesus on the earth, okay? And he passed it on to his church. Now, the authority in my mind, from my way of thinking, I don't know if I can point to a scripture that defines authority, but the authority in my mind is walking in the knowledge and understanding of the word that you have. If you're walking in that knowledge and that understanding, like resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's, you know, if you understand in your spirit what resistance is and you do that, then you can resist the devil and he will flee from you. If the devil is not fleeing from you, then either you're resisting wrong and you don't know what resistance is, or you don't really believe it. One of the two. That's, you know, because the word says it, it's true. If
fellas,
it's not operating, then there's something wrong with what I'm trying to handle it with.
All authority stems from truth. Jesus is the truth. He is the embodiment of truth. If you are walking in truth, you are walking in authority. If you are not walking in truth, you have no authority. It's very simple. And what we've allowed them to do, they have usurped the truth. They have changed the truth. And we are following their truth because we will not walk in truth. We don't have the authority. Jared said that they went to Target. Great experience for him to go to Target and hold up the signs. And that's what you encounter. See, the church right now is not walking in authority. Why is the church not walking in authority? Not walking in truth. We've taken the salt of the world. And we've allowed the world to come in and tell us stuff that's not true. And we're repeating and teaching things that are not true. So the church has therefore lost all authority. What's the church's response to abortion? Vote pro-life. That's it. That's it. We won't come to our senses and admit that it's murder. It's a shedding of innocent blood. God's ticked about it. And so we have no authority. Because we've slid right in beside the world and say, oh, yeah, well, you're pro-murder. Well, we're pro-life. And let's have a debate. Let's see who can get who elected. Rather than doing what Phinehas did. Phinehas, yeah, Numbers 25. Numbers 25. I want to get this in. I looked at the clock. I don't mean to. It's a great discussion. I don't want to get trapped in it. But I want to talk to you real quickly about Phinehas. Phinehas was a priest during the Exodus. The Israelites' Exodus. He was a grandson of Aaron and the son of Eleazar, who was a high priest. We'll find out in Exodus 25 we're going to talk about. He distinguished himself as a young guy full of zeal and serving the Lord. He was displeased with the immorality of the Moabites and Midianites. He was displeased with it. Phinehas was. And we just read right here, I got my finger, in verse 106, verse 30. It said, then stood... Verse 29, thus they provoked him to anger with their intentions, and the plague break in upon them. There was a plague upon them. And then in verse 30, then stood up Phinehas, and he executed judgment. So the plague was stopped. Want to stop the plague? Want to stop the plague? Let's see how tolerant and diverse Phinehas is here. Numbers 25. Boy, I could go, this is, I got to read this fast because we're running out of time. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Intermarrying. Now, we think of intermarrying, we think of interracial marrying. We're intermingling, okay? We're intermingling in our public schools. We're putting Christian kids into the devil's den. They're teaching doctrines of demons in the public schools, and our kids are intermingling. We're marrying in that. You see that, guys? They called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. Picture the public schools now. Okay, just picture what's going on. And the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. Got on their basketball teams and their football teams and their choirs and sat on their school boards, Christians sitting on the school boards, passing doctrines of demons. Christian school teachers in there thinking they're being salt and light, promoting doctrines of demons. And Israel joined himself unto Baalapar, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. That's his people. So the church is now joined with the public schools, and the Lord gets mad at who? Gets mad at the church. The Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. He says, cut off their heads and hang their heads publicly. These people who are intermingling, cut off their heads as a witness to everybody else. I don't like this crap. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay every one of the men that were joined with Baalapor. You go get every one of those guys that are intermingling and you cut off their heads. The Lord told Moses, cut off their heads. Moses tells his men, you go cut off their heads. This is the Bible. Behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianish woman in the sight of Moses. Oh, I got goosebumps. Do you see what just happens here? He tells it. This dude stands up and says, oh, yeah, Moses, hey, look at this one I got. And he goes out and he drags one of these mixed breeds into the camp. He says, you ain't going to tell me what to do, Moses. I like this honey. Verse 6, behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought into his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses. Woo! Right in front of the Lord. And in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel. Everybody's watching when they bring this slut in there. What is Moses going to do? Who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. The people's gone seeing what's going on, and they're outside weeping because everything is being destroyed and nobody's doing anything about it. Moses just sent down this edict, kill them all. They're all out there weeping because their husbands are being slain. Everybody's being slain. And this guy comes dragging this slut right into the midst of it. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation. See, he was just a dude sitting in the crowd. Said, I had enough of it. And he took a javelin in his hand. And he went after that man of Israel in the church, and he thrust both of them through the man of Israel and the woman through their belly. Get that picture. They're in there copulating, whatever they're getting ready to do, and Phinehas comes running with a javelin, and he runs it right through both of them. Right in front of everybody. Just some dude sitting in the church. I had enough of it, Phinehas said. Look what happened. So the plague was stayed. And the children of Israel. And those that died in that plague were 24,000. And the Lord spoke to Phinehas, or to the Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace. So they just put the little story of Phinehas in there in Psalm 106. And what was it? Somebody rose up and said, you will not intermingle God's children with the devil's children and get away with it. and the Lord brought judgment. Phinehas stayed the hand of the Lord. Now, I'm not telling you that we all need to go out and get javelins and go around running the spear through people, but we had better realize that it was the judgment that brought the relief of the Lord. The one thing they tell us we are not to do was the one thing that brought deliverance. Judgment brought deliverance. The Lord was avenged. For his name's sake, he was avenged. And we see right now in the United States of America, Christian people are sending their kids to Baal, to the devil, to be educated. And the pastors are intermingling and marrying in that same group, buying them book bags, being the chaplain at the football games, praying. You know what I'm telling you? You know I'm telling you the truth. Taking our money and teaching doctrines of demons. If all the Christians were to leave the public schools, what would happen to the public schools? They'd collapse, wouldn't they? But coach, I went to public school and I turned out okay. Well, that's debatable. Right? That's debatable.
Well, the argument that if Christians aren't in public schools, where's going to be the salt and the light within the school?
What'd Phinehas say?
That argument has been around for decades, and I say this, where's the result of all that light and salt decades ago? One apple spoils the barrel. Guess what? Get those kids out of there. Get them out of there. If you don't love them, just leave them where they're at if you don't love them.
But Larry, the church isn't giving the parents any solution to it. The church isn't giving the parents. What do? They take a youth group. They turn the youth group over to some 24-year-old guy that, you know, he wants to be a pastor at some point. So he's, you know, he can relate to the youth. Well, you know what? I'm a dad. I don't try to relate to my kids. Sure, I try to. But I'm an authority over my kids. And I tried to train my kids in righteousness. Sometimes I was successful. Sometimes I wasn't. But I wasn't trying to be their buddy. I was trying to be a righteous moral standard in front of them. I had to be the hammer. And you want to see something? I know of a situation right now where a pastor has been, do I say it? Here I say, I'm going to say it. Demoted to youth ministry. He sees it as a demotion. He's demoted. He doesn't get to stand in the pulpit on Sunday and blah, 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 his bilge to everybody. They demoted him. Now he's got to work with the youth. And he sees it as a demotion. He doesn't understand that the children are so important that the government makes them all go to school and learn the doctrines of demons in the school. We see teaching youth as a demotion.
Oh, shit. I don't know his last name, Honeywell.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. Crazy. 2 minutes. Somebody bring us home here. Anybody bring us home? No?
Dave?
Hey, Coach?
Yeah. Yes. Rich.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I agree with everything you said. I do think, to some extent, we're hitting the rock. All these verses, you know, they're not towards the heathen. They are towards God's disobedient.
Yes, it is.
And judgment comes first there.
Amen.
And we have got to, you know, I think, yes, we got to snatch the youth out of the schools, but we better snatch them out of the church.
Amen. Amen. It's a horrible thing to say, isn't it?
It is. It's hard, but it's true. The church needs to hear the truth, because the wicked's not going to hear it.
Nope.
You started off by talking to us and telling us about your experience down in Texas at the boot camp. Well, Jesus tried to tell us and his disciples and everybody what the end times were going to be like. And he said, but as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, there's two other places in Scripture where it talks, related Scripture in the New Testament talks about that. And it talks about in the days of Noah, there was Noah and a total of 8 people that were brought out of the flood. 8 people out of the population of the world. Whatever the population of the world was back then, I don't know. I don't think there's anybody today smart enough to figure it out. But 8 out of the population of the world, if that's the same percentage as it was in the days of Noah, we got millions and millions of people calling themselves Christians. Jesus said most of those people are going to go to hell. People don't like to hear that, but that's what the Bible says. I didn't say that. The Bible says that. Okay?
Sobering, brother.
We've got to remember that those of us who, it hurts me. I feel pain because there are so many people out there that are so deluded and they're so swallowing the bills that's being taught in those churches. And it hurts me to see them go down in flames because they refuse to admit the fallibility or the true condition that those pastors and teachers and leaders, they blindly follow the leaders. Those people, they know better because they were taught in the cemeteries the right stuff. I'm sorry, the Bible will give you the right stuff.
Judgment begins first. Where? The house of God. Rich, you nailed it, man. You nailed it. It's a good one to end on. Folks, we got to get our kids out of those schools. We got to do it. If you only knew the poison your kids were drinking, God help us. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.